Hey guys, Ryan here from Fierce Marriage. And first off, thank you so much for your listenership. We couldn't do this without you, and we hope you are enjoying the show. Secondly, and this is important, starting January 1st, we will be going through the 31-Day Pursuit Challenge as an online community, day by day, together. And what that means is I will lead the men, Selena will lead the ladies, and every day we'll go through each study and just reflect and talk about it, ask questions, give each other ideas. The best way to participate is to pick up your copies of the 31-Day Pursuit Challenge by going to 31daypursuit.com. You will receive an email shortly in the next few weeks here giving you details on how to be a part of that online study. That's it. Hope you enjoy this episode. Take care.
Welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast, where we believe that marriage takes a fierce tenacity that never gives up and refuses to give in.
Here we'll share openly and honestly about all things marriage,
sex,
communication,
finances,
priorities,
purpose,
and everything in between.
Laugh, ponder, and join in on candid, gospel-centered conversations. This is Fierce Marriage.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast.
Woohoo! Glad to be here.
Yeah, Ryan here.
Selena here.
And we are the authors and voices of Fierce Marriage. You may, if it's your first time listening, we're actually going to do something a little different today.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to do kind of an Ask Me Anything or Ask Us Anything show.
Yeah.
Where we have put out into the blogosphere and into the internet a question, and that's, or basically a request, and that's for you, our readers and listeners, to ask questions. And we do have a whole database of questions we've kind of compiled, and you know, it's hard to write a blog post. That takes a lot of time. It takes like 3-4 hours. Recording this takes probably 3-4 hours to record it, edit it, post it, all that kind of stuff. So we're just going to try to knock out a bunch of questions all at once.
We're going to do our best. Plus, it's really fun to, not fun, but it's good to get a pulse on where everybody's at. And there's a myriad of questions. There's a ton of different questions. And hopefully some of them overlap as far as like root issues.
Yeah, and a lot of things that we probably wouldn't even think about otherwise, just because we're not in everybody's situation all the time, right? So there's sometimes issues that are huge for us are tiny to other people, and they're saying, well, shut up about that thing.
Right. Can you talk about
something else? Something that I actually care about. And so this kind of helps us stay grounded.
Yeah.
So a few big caveats before we proceed, obviously, is that we, you know, it's funny, we write a marriage blog and we have this marriage podcast, and we don't have every answer.
No. And even if we have like an answer, we're still like being sanctified in it.
Yes.
Like if we're still,
we might know it in our head, but our hearts are far from transformed. Yeah. Right. So, that's a big caveat moving forward, is that we know we've spent the last 5 years or so writing about and studying marriage a lot. So yeah, we do. We are experts in some regard, because we've spent a lot of time thinking about it. But we always are turning to God's word. And that's the other big caveat, is that we're going to do our best to answer, because some of these questions are very sensitive, and we're going to do our best to answer them according to God's word, stay faithful to the truth that he's presented there. And then the last caveat is
we're always operating a little bit under the assumption that our listeners out there are, they are Christians. They believe in God. They believe that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose again. So we're operating in light of
the gospel.
The gospel, and in light of those understandings.
Yeah, so that's a huge, huge one. Thank you for saying that. And it's that it'd be really easy for you to hear like an answer to one of these questions and say, I just need to work harder, strive harder to get the result I want. That I think would be a disservice to you and a disservice to your marriage and your spouse. Jesus is the one thing that we should always, he's the one person that can satisfy and the only desire worth our lives.
Right.
And so we, you know, everything that we talk about here is in light of him being on the throne in heaven and in our own lives.
And that he came.
And he is the king.
And he died on the cross.
Yeah, and his work was sufficient for us. And we can find all joy regardless of what's happening in our lives. Mm-hmm. That we can find hope in him. So that's big caveat. Thank you for letting us say that.
Right.
We don't want to
minimize anybody's pain or situations, and we really want to tread cautiously and lovingly, but unashamedly about God's truth and his word.
Yeah. All right. So with that said, Selena, what are we going to start today with?
Well, I think we can kind of start with somewhat of an easy one. Dave,
yes, please.
Dave wrote, the best ways to stay connected to our spouse in a crazy and fast-paced world.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, staying connected. And then along with that, I think it loops in is we've had a lot of empty nesters questions, and we can't speak entirely to that, but I do have a friend that I would like to share about who's very okay. special to me later.
So we actually experienced some of this, I think, pretty early on
Absolutely.
In our marriage, where we found ourselves growing cold to each other, I think, because of the amount of time that we were spending just doing other things.
This right.
is before we had kids. I was volunteering a lot at our church, of right. all places, which I think, obviously, church is a good thing. Church involvement is a good thing. But it was actually had to turn into a bad thing for us because it was taking up so much extra time.
Mm-hmm.
We had zero margin for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we were not, am I answering the question? Or we were losing connection.
Yes, we were right? losing connection.
And so the way we kind of dealt with that is, well, first, God convicted my heart.
Right.
You know, he basically said, you know, this is your family. This is your first ministry. Mm-hmm. And you are ministering very poorly. You're leading in a very...
right. Well, and I think that came out of, you know, we were doing a lot of good things, but it wasn't... The priorities were kind of out of whack. And I feel like this is... one of the instances where our family vision statement kind of started and began developing into and what that kind of did for us was created margin for us. It helped us understand
yep.
that we needed white space. We needed time. We don't just fill up every minute just to fill it up and feel like we have a full life. It's in the white
yep.
space and the margin that we really do, I feel like,
yep.
get full.
Yeah, yeah. So we won't hash that out again. I think if you're interested in the family vision statement and what that means, there's actually another blog or, sorry, podcast episode.
It's hard to say. A blogcast.
I think it was like 2 weeks back
yeah.
or so. So check that out. You'll find it. It's in the title.
You can definitely search on our blog as well for things like quality time and staying connected. We have a bunch
yeah.
of posts on that. And then the second part of that question was we've had a few empty nesters saying, how do we not kill each other spending so much time together? Or how do we deal with that? And I have a mentor in my life, Dion. She's very special to me, and she is just an example of, she has four sons. They're all grown, married. Some are still in college. They're pursuing careers and whatnot. And, you know, she really just opens her home and her life to service and love. And she has us ladies over Monday nights. And we talk about God's word. We have chocolate. We do all the fun things. So I feel like, getting outside of your world and serving and giving, and I know that you're probably like, I just gave, I had all my kids. you know, those are such blessings to us younger people that are still kind of in the midst of some craziness.
And it can be a way that you connect on a deeper level with your spouse because you're ministering out of your marriage.
Absolutely.
And out of your kind of, out of all that wisdom that you've amassed
mm-hmm.
over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So to give some tangible ways to connect, date nights, clearly
mm-hmm.
are very important.
Very important.
We've started to prioritize those again. We're yep. kind of like caught on our heels when we had kids.
Right.
And now that we're kind of settled a little bit more,
yeah.
dating is becoming more frequent, which is amazing.
Right.
Obviously you want to connect on, you know, as intimate of levels as you can, whether it's emotionally
right.
intimate, you're laughing, crying, talking about deep things together, have intentional conversations,
right.
set aside that time, whether it's at home or out of the home.
This could be an appropriate time plug for a date box too.
Yeah. Well, date box is a great one. Yeah. And, it's a friend of ours started this business where, they send dates every week.
Yeah. Every month.
And so
every month.
Their website's getdatebox.com. You
yep.
can actually get 50% off. We didn't mean to plug this today, but you can get 50% off if you use the word fierce
yep.
As a promo code.
Yep. Another thing you can do that's kind of tangible, it's an exercise that a friend of mine told me about, is FANOS. So it's an acronym. So FANOS is FANOS. F is for feeling. How are you feeling right now? A is for affirmation, something you're doing well. N is for need, somewhere you could help me or I have a need. O is own, so this is something I'm owning, I'm not great at, but I wanted to just share, maybe a struggle. And S is self-care, what's something that I've done to take care of myself this week? And sharing
yeah.
that, going through that with your spouse can be short, fast, or more involved, but just you know,
a
tangible tool.
Was this a Beth idea?
This was a Heather idea.
Okay.
All my ladies out there, my friends.
It's come from like a psychological sort of like mindset, right? Like
it's yeah, psychology. It's yes, there's it's somebody yeah. wrote it. Okay. Of course.
Cool. I think hopefully that answered that question.
Yep.
There's lots of stuff on our blog about it if you want to go there and search.
Right.
All right, what do you got next?
So this one comes from Dana. She says, it would be deeply helpful for my husband to understand how hurtful his words are sometimes. Mm-hmm. He thinks I'm too sensitive, but I think it would be nice for him to speak life rather than his mind sometimes.
Yeah.
Big stuff there. Yeah.
So Dana.
Yeah.
Dana, to speak directly to you, you can't convince your husband with arguments or with the God has to do that. The Holy Spirit has to convict him. Mm-hmm. That's the big blanket statement. With that said, God will use your words to convict and to convince him. God will use books. God will use circumstances and mm-hmm. things like that to help make him more sensitive to how his words are being perceived.
Right. Well, and you just being able to say something like that to him, you know, Ephesians 4:15 really struck me here. And it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And for me, that really is said, you know, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, as we allow him to mold our hearts more and more, I feel like as he's done that with me, I'm better able to communicate in ways that are clear and less hurtful to my husband. So I'm able to say things like, you know, I feel like maybe I am too sensitive, but these are some things that are hurting me. And I would really like to talk to you about why, because I don't understand and I could use your help we just had this conversation 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. So the challenge with that though, is having that conversation without letting it become emotional,
explosive,
or bringing it up in a time when you're already like, everybody's feathers are ruffled.
And
so how do you get there? And I think the best way to do that is to actually schedule time when you can talk to each other. Cause there's lots of times when, you know, you're going throughout your day and you're mulling something over. I know there's times when I'm like working around the house on a weekend and I'm stewing about something and, you know, you just bottle it all up. And I think the best way and the most healthy way, or at least a healthy way that we've found, mm-hmm. is to schedule time with each other, send a text or just make a quick call, or even just, you know, around the house, say, hey, mm-hmm. can we talk tonight? Mm-hmm. I have something I really, you know, that's on my heart and I love you. I need, let's have 30 minutes tonight just to talk mm-hmm. about something. What that does is that kind of perks you both up.
Right.
And it perks up your ears and your hearts to kind of, he or she is going to be wondering, oh man, what are they going to talk about? What is it? And make a point to, you know, don't hide it, but just wait. Just say, tonight we're going to talk about this thing. Mm-hmm. And, I just want to talk about how, you know, how we communicate or, you know, however you feel led to do that. But that tends to help us, I think.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's great. I think it's important to know your spouse. It's important to set that time aside so that you're kind of not emotionally charged and you're ready to talk with not guns blazing, I guess. Yeah. That's one way to say it. So our next question comes from Amanda. She's asking about pornography, husbands and wives. It's everywhere. Many couples suffer in shame and silence, and Christians are told, just don't watch it. And the sermons and resources, they don't really extend into coping with discovery and the aftermath and how to get help. And she is encouraging also, with God's help and the proper tools, recovery is possible and a better marriage can be on the other side. And I absolutely agree with her on that.
So the question is not, you know, so
is it bad?
Yeah.
Cause
it's bad.
I think people know where we stand on that. And
yeah. One really potent way that I heard somebody say it is, we need to stop treating pornography like the fly at the picnic and treat it like a viper in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Right. It will kill us. It will kill your marriage.
Right.
And we've seen it time and time again. So I think that's the understanding we all share.
Right.
So what to do after you've had
discovered that it's a part of your marriage.
Okay.
I think, and that it's been, somebody's been dealing with it. So how do we deal with it? I mean, from our experience,
I think time is a huge, it has to be a part of the healing process.
What do you mean time?
Like, it's not, don't expect to feel 100% whole.
Absolutely.
In overnight.
Right.
Right.
It's gonna take not something time, you just like bounce back from.
Forgiveness and right. understanding, community, meaning right. that if a husband or a wife is addicted to pornography, they need help.
Right.
Because it is an addiction. There's lots of science
help
behind
outside
it.
Outside of them. Yes.
It is a chemical thing. It's a brain neural pathway thing.
Right.
It's a rampant thing that's always available. It's like if an alcoholic, had alcohol at every turn.
Right.
It'd be really hard for that alcoholic to not continue drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly isn't the case for alcoholism, but for pornography, it's like our culture is very sexually charged.
Right.
Right. Advertisements, TV, the internet, everything. So you need to have some sort of accountability, some sort of healing, that healing process for the person who's addicted.
Absolutely.
To pornography.
And one thing that's tangibly helped us, and this came after we dealt with it, was being each other's.
And if you're wondering, I mean, I can speak to that. Basically, early on in our marriage, pornography was an addiction of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, it wasn't, by the grace of God, I think we caught it pretty fast. And we dealt with it in a way that was constructive.
Mm-hmm.
I just want, so in case you're wondering what Cindy's talking about there.
It took time, and it's not that it's, I don't want to throw you under the bus. There's still those temptations. The internet is still prevalent. Screens are still prevalent.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
We talk about it
right.
almost weekly.
Right. Absolutely. So it's not like we shut that door and everything's done.
Yeah,
it's a, constant battle. But some of the things that have helped us deal with these things is being each other's accountability partner. And at first that kind of sounded, I think, weird to us, but at most now it's become the most helpful thing ever is just being transparent with
trust.
Each other. We rebuilt trust.
I feel like by God's grace, we rebuilt trust very quickly
right.
because of the just brutal transparency that
right.
we both committed to.
But we did need some time to process it, and we did, and not a lot of, not like, I'm not saying stay away from each other. I'm saying when the emotions are raging, you might need to take a step back. As a wife, I had to find peace in Christ and confidence in Him, and I had to deal with my husband in grace and some acceptance and empathy. Absolutely, because it is saying, okay, I need to be able to hear the problems and hear where you're at, so that I can understand. Not that we need to go through the whole crime scene again, but I need to understand, and I need to help and love you and give you the safe space within our marriage
right.
to process this and deal with
and
it.
And just as much as, I think in the same measure that we had transparency and honesty, we had love.
Right.
And that I knew. So the promise I made to you is that you can ask me any question and I will never lie.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard it is, I won't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And basically said, open the door for those questions.
Mm-hmm.
But you promised me in return that you would always love me.
Right.
And so that was a very liberating thing. Mm-hmm. And that was a couple of years into our marriage, and we were finally living
right.
with the transparency that that marriage was designed for.
Which is a huge illustration of covenantal boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's an illustration of Christ-like love.
Yep.
And that's how Christ loves us.
Mm-hmm.
He says, come as you are.
Right.
And here we are coming to each other as we are.
Right.
And knowing that our covenant will be the thing that keeps us together, even in times when it's hard.
Right.
So all this comes with the caveat again of repentance. So
mm-hmm.
if the husband or the wife, whoever's addicted to pornography, is not repentant of that behavior,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they're not turning away from it, they haven't acknowledged it as sin,
mm-hmm.
That's a huge problem. That's a first
right.
step.
Right.
There's got to be a heart of repentance, and that can only be spurred on by the Holy Spirit and by seeing Jesus for who He is, seeing
mm-hmm.
His love for what it is, seeing God for the Holy King that He is,
mm-hmm.
That will always move a human sinful heart to repentance.
Right.
So with anything, when sin is involved, we need to see Jesus and see ourselves for
right.
rightly, and that makes big that makes for a really huge need for the cross, which
Absolutely.
Will bring us to repentance.
And if he or she is not there yet, I feel like the biggest thing you can do is pray for them and pray that the Holy Spirit convicts them and pray for their hearts and
yeah.
that He can do the work only He can do.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
need to trust that. There's trust and faith there.
Yeah.
So actually that moves us into very quickly and smoothly into our next question. We have Piper who said, long distance marriage. My husband's in the military. You don't get very much advice, books, blogs about this subject. Well, one of my friends from our church, her husband was deployed from May to October, I think, of this last year. And, we would go on walks and talk, and she would say, we're having trouble with, you know, again, pornography, I imagine, and no, it is pretty rampant in the military, and yes, being away from each other, it's very difficult. So what I tried to encourage her in was when you do have time to, when you do get times to talk and connect, because I know it's rare depending on where they're at, if you have a set of questions that you know you're going to ask each other every time. Have you struggled, you know, with sexual images or whatever? You can phrase it however you feel like you know each other, and you'll get an answer that you're confident in. And how have you struggled? So just knowing, I think one of the things was knowing that that question is coming for both of them was a huge help.
Okay, so the question is about a military long distance, like a deployment.
Yes, I'm sorry, and this is probably one.
And so one aspect of that is accountability.
Right.
The other aspect would be just
staying connected,
yeah, not losing your relationship.
Right.
Because you're not spending time together.
Right.
We're human. We're made for proximity
and relationship.
And what you're saying is that proximity is totally removed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How can you do that and have a covenantal marriage?
Right.
And we don't know much about that firsthand, because I've never been in the military.
Right. Our family members have. We have a lot of friends that
we've
close
spent
friends
at
that
most 2 weeks away from each other since we've been married.
21 days, actually.
21 days.
Nothing near, though, a deployment,
yes,
of course.
Nothing near. So for that, we're gonna defer you to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a website, strongerfamilies.org. We actually will be having them on this podcast in about a month.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. And he's, I've talked to him on the phone. He's a really solid guy. He's actually in the same area, loves Jesus, is pointing military couples, to Christ-centered help. Anyway, we'll have them on here, but go to that website in the meantime. They also have a podcast. I don't know the name of it, but just look up strongerfamilies.org. That will take you where you need to go.
Right. And know that you have community around you. If you don't, I'm sure there are ways to find that community.
So yeah, that's another, the last bit of this question, I think, is push into community.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're home and your spouse is deployed or vice versa, really fight for that community in your local church. If you're deployed, and you're, you know, overseas somewhere, strive for and fight for Christ-centered community, on base, wherever you're at in your deployment.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
And again, we have grateful hearts for all the families
Yes, absolutely. All right. What's our next question?
All right. The next one is in-laws and boundaries. Let's see. Carrie said, how do I put in place firm and clear boundaries around us that protects our union from intrusive in-laws and families of origin who feel they are entitled to know all details about the couple? Oh man, it's a doozy.
That's a big, big question. So,
we did do a podcast about it.
We did, actually. So go listen to that and see you later.
I think one
distinction that was really helpful to us, and I can't remember who said this, but you have, you know, once you're married, your wife or your husband and your kids, they're your family. Everyone else is your relatives.
Right.
And so you kind of become this nucleus.
Right.
Which was really helpful for me. Recently, we had some things that happened in our lives, and I kind of just fell into this role. Like, I am the guardian of this house.
Mm-hmm.
I am the steward of this family, you know, and the head of our house, and I want to love them well, which means I need to protect them well, in that instance. And so it kind of became very clear to me that I was fighting for my wife and my kids before I'm fighting for anyone else.
Right.
I
think it's important to take inventory. Where do you and or your spouse feel sort of invaded? Because where I may not feel invaded, he may feel invaded. You know, there's definitely different ways we feel invaded. And again, check out the podcast. But one of the parts that we really liked was that we need to ask, you know, our in-laws to really advocate for our marriage covenant and not just for their child. So we're not siding here. We are one in our marriage. So really asking our in-laws and our parents to uphold, advocate, and pray for our marriage covenant. And in that, to respect our marriage and their words and their actions, how we do holidays, all that kind of stuff. And so, again, check out that podcast. I feel like it's a lot more extensive. And setting boundaries, guys, we're still not perfect at this. But we really do try to set them, based in the Bible, like having biblical foundations for those, and knowing, you know, how doing it in a loving and respectful way and extending grace upon grace upon grace in how we do it. And it's okay, I think, you know, to live with family if you have to do that for a while. But again, talking about invasion, where are the boundaries? Like, I don't gossip to my mom about Ryan. Ryan doesn't take sides, you know, secretly about yada, yada, yada. So I think those are some important areas. Again, talk about where you feel invaded, and start kind of where the fire is there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. In that podcast, we go a lot deeper into those questions. I'm actually going to interject a question here.
Yeah.
This came from our little form. By the way, if you have any questions, go to fiercemarriage.com/ask, fiercemarriage.com/ask. And you can, it's just a quick form. You can submit any question. And this question came from there. And someone asked, how do you make a big decision when you both want something different? Selena, go ahead and take that one. I'm totally putting you on
the
spot right now.
Throwing me under the bus here.
No, you're gonna come out.
How do you make a big decision when you both want something different? I guess part of it depends on what the big decision is. I mean, it's hard to speak to something that we don't.
Wants fettuccine Alfredo, and I want pizza.
These are big decisions in our household.
Sorry, we're not trying to make light of this.
No. Yeah. You know, a big decision. What qualifies a big decision?
Well.
Financial decisions, severing of a decision, you know, decision of churches. I mean, this is.
Yeah. Well,
what are things that I do, Ryan, when we're making big decisions?
Obviously. Yeah. Well, I think
they filter
compromise
through.
Is okay.
Right.
And so you need to talk, communicate, mm-hmm. absolutely communicate and filter through, you know, the whys and the whats of the decision. And then you need to make sure you both completely understand the other person.
Right.
And then you need to find a compromise. And that sounds like a canned answer, but it's really the truth. And you look like you're going to say something.
Well, I feel like it really comes from our family vision of, you know, this is our family vision. These are the things, the goals and things that we would like. And so when we make these big decisions, they really need to be filtered down through these things.
Which, by the way, 98% of the people who answered our poll last week don't have a family vision statement written down.
Right.
So if you don't have that, that will help.
Yeah. And we can check our show notes for.
Right.
And so there's another podcast we did on it to start the ball rolling. Helped us tremendously in decision making, in boundary setting.
And you can download a template to create your own, mm-hmm. and there's instructions and stuff there. But yeah, so get on the same page with the even bigger things. What do you actually believe about your purpose here on earth? And that sounds like a huge, huge unanswerable question.
And it sounds a little disconnected from this, but it's really not.
But if you're a Christian, like there's an answer.
There's lines that are drawn, clear lines.
There's an answer to that question. Yeah, and there's lines that are drawn because of that.
Yeah.
But if it's something like, hey, you know, she wants a minivan and I want an SUV.
We've had this decision.
And you compromise,
right?
And this is going to sound counterintuitive or frustrating to some people, but we even have another thing in our family that we call it the 50-51 rule, right? And you've heard me talk about that, right? Where everything's 50-50. It's always 50-50, but you can only have 100% of something, right? But I feel like as the head, like if it comes to like we are at an impasse and we cannot agree on this, then as the head of the household, I personally take that responsibility to make a decision that our family is going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to live with that. And I have to, and Selena does too, but I have to live with Selena and I want to honor her. So I'm going to do something. And a lot of times, honestly, that compels me to side with her,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm not going to just like ramrod my own agenda and make it so she has to follow and do what I want. That's not what that rule means in our life. It means, okay, we've reached an impasse. We cannot find an agreement here. Mm-hmm. So let me just make the decision. And like I said, men, listen to this. It usually means that I do what she wants. And I think that's being a husband that is serving, mm-hmm. his family and his wife. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's going to hurt them in the long run, then I won't, you know. But usually we won't. Those types of decisions we make together anyway, because it becomes clear.
Well, and so that's why I feel like it really is a win-win either way.
But if you're disagreeing on a big thing, like she thinks
where to live,
you need or it's a big job that is going to be a huge commitment,
right?
That's going to require an hour long commute,
right.
And long hours. You need to be in agreement on that.
Absolutely. And I think like where to live, we
family vision,
we did that family vision. Yeah. But I feel like that's a good illustration, 'cause I was like, we were 50-50 and I felt like we probably could have made it anywhere, but you wanted to be here. And I was like, okay, And it just, it fell into place. I'm just trying to illustrate
well,
that
it's... your heart came around to it.
Right, and it took some time, but...
But we talked, it wasn't like I said, we're doing this, get on board.
Right, it wasn't a control, like...
We talked
absolutely.
Through it until finally it made sense.
Right. I feel like maybe we should try to do this once a month. What do you guys think? You'll have to give us a, a yes, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Just shout it in your car right now. Say yes!
Heard you. Okay, we'll do it. Because, I mean, we haven't even touched on, like, finances. People have written about infidelity. I feel like we've probably hit our time limit here. So we would love to answer more questions. We've already gotten quite a few, and I'm really excited about that. We will also start... Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll do this. We will do more of this somehow.
Yeah.
Whether it's a weekly segment that we do, or it's a monthly, like, full dedicated episode.
Give the people what they want.
Well, it's to be decided if you want this.
Do you want it? You have to scream louder.
Scream louder.
I can't hear you.
Anyway.
We're
people are
nerds.
Turning us off now.
I know.
Okay, so the way you give us feedback is very important. Is you go to fiercemarriage.com/podcast. You can actually tell us your story. You can write in a question. You can write a love letter to your spouse, and we will read that if you give us permission. Or you can go to fiercemarriage.com/ask to just ask a question, no frills, no gimmicks. The other way you can give us feedback, and this is very important to us, is to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on your app of choice. I know Apple iTunes is a very popular one, or the Apple podcasting app is a very popular one. Mm-hmm. So if you do use that one, it's very important and it helps us a ton. Just give us
appreciate
a rating.
Appreciate it, yeah.
And leave a review. And what that does is it gives people a heads up on what to expect. And if they're on the fence about listening to it, hopefully it'll push them over to the other side, over to the dark side, the fierce marriage dark side.
It's bright, full of Jesus.
All right. So I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this show in the can?
It's in the can. Do you want to pray?
Yeah, I'll pray.
Okay.
God, thank you for your grace over our lives. Thank you for loving us the way you love us. Thank you for your word that we can always come back to with questions like these. Mm-hmm. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue the work that you began in us. Mm-hmm. Pray that you would strengthen these marriages, that you would allow them to flourish, God, for your glory and for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Father, we pray for the husband who is listening right now, who just needs confidence in you, who needs direction from you, who needs to know how to love his wife well. I pray that you would lead him and that you would guide him and that you would drive him closer to you through his word or through your word and through prayer, God, that you would draw him close. I pray for the wife who's listening, who just needs some joy, who needs renewed hope, who needs renewed faith. I pray that you would surround her with your Holy Spirit and that you would fill her with joy and confidence and everything she needs to build her marriage, to fight for her marriage, to fight for her husband. Lord, we give you all these words. We pray that you would use the words that we spoke today, use them for your glory, use them to build up your body of believers, God. And I pray that you would use us and use the marriages listening to this to perpetuate your gospel. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right.
All right, guys. Next week, we will be covering a topic of our choosing. We have no idea.
let's do finances since we talked about that.
Okay.
We'll talk about finances.
Okay. We're going to talk about money.
Money, money, money.
Okay.
Money, please.
All right. That was uncalled for. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you in about 7 days. Take
All
care.
All right. Bye.